Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another Loon Talk. AJ Fredrickson here alongside voice of the Loons, Dan Terhard, Jonathan Harrison out just with some other stuff. Not able to be here this week, but Dan, what a week for him to miss following an unbeaten streak to start the season for the Loons. It's only two games, but when they end how they did this past weekend, how could you not be happy with it? It's a 1-1 draw between the Loons and the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew. We'll get into all that, but first, Dan, how are you on this Wednesday afternoon?
Wonderful, yeah. Good, great to get the season off to a good start. Those of us who've lived our whole lives in Minnesota, this is a weird winter because the weather's so great. I mean, can't think of too many days in February, late February, early March, where it's fit to play soccer outdoors in Minnesota, but that's what we got. So, yeah, could not be much better.
Well, yeah, let's not waste any time. We'll hop right into it. This past Saturday, it was a home opener for the Minnesota United at home facing Columbus Crew after a pretty impressive performance under interim manager Cameron Knowles until eventual permanent manager Eric Ramsey takes over. He gets one more go around. It sounds like maybe some more. We're not exactly sure, to my knowledge at least. You may have some more insight being a little more boots on the ground when Ramsey is set to fully get his hands on the club, but Cameron Knowles, another good outing here as his club draws in dramatic fashion with Columbus Crew. Rewinding back to the first half, we'll just go through the events here first. It was a match, Dan, that I felt was definitely more in Columbus's favor, but it was back and forth. So for most of the first half, I want to say, and we didn't really get too much action until the second. It was a nice day. It was a day where the Loons were missing a handful of very important pieces. Bonhukle Longwane, still not able to join the team quite yet from abroad. Emmanuel Reynoso out with the injury he sustained in the preseason. Robin Lud, despite a very solid-looking opening week, out with a lower body injury. I believe it was a knee, but feel free to correct me with that. He was out. It was a very dramatic as well for some past Loons as Christian Ramirez, Batman, returns to Allianz Field, returns to Minnesota for the first time and received a standing ovation from the Wonderwall post-match. We get to the second half, and right away, Columbus Crew comes out of the break, a lot of action. Then they pretty much dominated right from the opening kick of the second half through their eventual goal in the 59th minute. That one scored by Juan Hernandez, assisted by Yeboah. And immediately after that is when Cameron Knowles looks to make a few changes here, bringing on the eventual hero in Tani Alawasi, who scores with essentially the last kick of the game. I know Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press tried to get the question with the officiating crew after the match because the timing of the extra time that was allowed was technically over. He missed out the window to get that fully answered. So the MLS did not provide an answer, but it came down to the final kick of the game, the fifth minute of stoppage time. Tani Alawasi from Yosef Rosales, in almost a no angle shot, is able to level things before the end of the match. They're securing the Loons a point. We've had a few days to let this one stew in our minds. What are your main takeaways from that draw, Dan?
Well, I'll start where you let off. It seemed to me that as far as the stoppage time, that was probably the last touch there was going to be. I believe that when the throw-in came from that near sideline at Allianz Field, it rolled through the into the fifth minute. So that was the end of the stoppage time. And as you know, generally they will let whatever's happening at that point, if they don't feel they have to add any extra time, which I don't think he would have in that case because things played pretty quickly for those 4 minutes of extra time.
Yeah,
they'll let that play that has begun play through. So the ball was headed, I believe, three or four touches inside the 18. And I think on any one of those, if it would have been a clear out of the 18 by Columbus, that would have ended the match. I'm really pretty sure that that's where he was at. Mm-hmm. And instead, it ends up going wide of the goal. outside the six, pretty close to the byline. And as you said, Oluwaseyi just calmly turned and put a ball towards the goal. Not a ton of pace on it, but enough to find the back of the net. And so, yeah, I had no problem with the way the time was played and the way that played out. It's always more frustrating when you're the team that feels it should end. But we all know, AJ, it doesn't end. If they say 4 minutes, it doesn't end at exactly 4 minutes. We've been burnt by that before. So it comes around, goes around. But first half, I thought Minnesota played really well. Without Ray, without Lud, without Bongi, without Fragapane, I was impressed with the first half. Then the second half, the defending champs came out, and they did. They took over the match, and we fortunately hung on and kept it a one-goal game up until the equalizer in stoppage time. But you're two matches in without a loss. You win on the road in game one. That's always tough in this league, even in Austin. And then you get a draw somehow, a miraculous draw. So it's not like they've come out and blown anybody out. But, hey, they've got a tough start to the schedule. So to be two matches in without a loss, I think is huge. So they're in a good shape right now. And, you know, they've got a good chance of going three without a loss if they play well next week. So, you know, and by the way, the day was gorgeous at Allianz Field on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you don't get that in early March too often.
And we know Columbus Crew, I mean, they're as good of a team as they are for a reason, in the likes of in the midfield, Darlington Nagbe, who is a four-time MLS Cup champion. Up front, Cucho Hernandez, who is always a goal threat, as we saw this past weekend. He nabbed Columbus's lone goal. On the other side, with injuries and just kind of paperwork kind of stewing, it was a different front three than maybe a lot of Loons faithful would have expected on the second week of the year for them. I'm not sure that most would have pegged a front three of Teemu Pukki, Songbin Jeong, and Caden Clark, but you make with what you have. How do you think those three fared? Teemu Pukki leading the line in the middle there, subbed off after 60 minutes. Caden Clark, he was subbed off in the 61st, and then Songbin Jeong almost goes the full 90 plus 5, getting subbed off in the 83rd minute. How do you think that, I'm not going to say a misfit front three, because Teemu Pukki is still an incredible scorer and still has that finishing touch. Songbin Jeong is, I think, we've seen him elevate, but I think the surprise there is Caden Clark getting that start on the left-hand side. How do you think that front three fared against Columbus?
Well, we didn't get a great sample size just because there wasn't a lot of offensive chances for Minnesota. Songbin Jeong has been outstanding. I mean, he came in great shape. He looks faster than he did last year. He plays aggressive. He's going to be tough to knock out of the lineup, even when Reynoso and Lud and Longwane come back. He's made a real case for himself to stay in the lineup. And as far as Clark goes, again, it was a pretty small sample size. He didn't get a lot of opportunities. You know, I think he was offside a couple times or once anyway. So this is a guy that, you know, you think is got a future. And if he gets another chance this week down in Orlando, he needs to be more involved in the offense. And, you know, and if Robin Lud is one of the players playing with him or behind him, because the midfield, you mentioned Nagbe and Morris, those two midfielders for Columbus.
Yeah. And how about a day for Aiden Morris?
Yeah. Outstanding midfield. But yet we started Hassani Dotson and Alejandro Braun, and you know, they seem to win a lot of the battles with those two. I was more, put it this way, out of the guys that were in the lineup that maybe you didn't expect, if you take Clark and Braun, I think Alejandro had the better day. I think he was outstanding because he had a lot more to do with the match because so much of it was played in that midfield.
And speaking of kind of the midfield, and we talked about how much maybe at times it looked like Columbus took control of the game. The back line stood up so strong. You know, you had the 31-year-old in Will Trapp kind of drifting back into that defensive aspect of the midfield. But that back line with the two center backs being Miguel Tapias, Michael Boxall. On the left fullback side is Josef Rosales, and on the right, DJ Taylor. I'm not sure about you, but through two matches, Josef Rosales has been a star. I think he's looked terrific. He's kind of done it on both sides of the field when needed, but it seems like he's started off almost in mid-season form for me through these first 2 weeks?
Last year, when he first started making some appearances at that left back spot, he struggled a little bit. I think he wanted to force himself to be involved in the offense. I think that what Cameron Knowles has done with this team is given guys like Rosales kind of a new life and a new leash on him to play how he plays. And I agree with you. He's been outstanding. And we were concerned about that spot and who was going to fill that. And Rosales has been outstanding back there. And again, we can't give enough credit to Cameron Knowles for what this team has done in a very difficult situation without a permanent head coach. And he stepped in and done, even after he was the second choice as the interim coach, which, you know, give him credit for ignoring all that, doing what's best for the club. He'll be rewarded for it down the road, I have no doubt. So Rosales was good. DJ Taylor has had his moments in the past, but as a young, you know, fairly new defender in MLS, I think he's been very, very good too. So, you know, a couple of young, relatively fast backs there with a pretty good veteran pair in the middle, Miguel and Michael Boxall. So, yeah, it's been, I think, better than what we would have expected. And again, it's early, and we really weren't tested that much by Austin, but they held up really well against the defending cup champs.
Kind of a shift when you look at the stat sheet from week one to this week. Down in Austin, it seemed like they dominated most of the play. A record number of corners for the team. At times, shots on goal. I mean, they kind of blew it out of the water. This week, you go from Austin to a very top-tier team in Columbus, and things shift, I think, expectedly. 43% possession for the Loons. And honestly, Columbus led in every major category other than goals, essentially. They led in total shots, 12-10, 6-4 with shots on goal, 2-1 on big chances. Loons missed one big chance compared to Columbus's two. They had more passes and a higher pass accuracy. The Loons did lead on corners 5-3, and maybe the more notable one here is expected goals. Columbus led this category 1.44 to the Loons 0.83. It ends drawn level at 1-1. Did you expect the similar kind of dominant performance that we saw down in Austin? Is this a concern to you that things sort of leveled out and maybe they played the underdog, so to speak, in this game? Given it is Columbus, I think you expected things to come maybe back down to earth a bit, but is this concerning that it dropped off as heavily as it did?
The first half, no, because even though Columbus got the better of the play in the first half, it was closer to even. The stats were a little misleading. Didn't get those final touches, the extra pass they needed in the final third to get shots on goal. So at halftime, I felt like the stats were a little bit okay. It was a pretty even up first half in a lot of ways. Stats didn't show that. And then the second half, that was more concerning because then Columbus did look like the defending cup champs and Minnesota struggled. But again, concern, no, not without the players we've mentioned, Reynoso, Lode, Longwane, and Fragapane. Mm-hmm. The fact that we didn't create a lot of offense without those players isn't surprising against a really good side like Columbus. And the fact that we kept it at 1-0 because of the strong play in the midfield and by the defense, you know, that just kept us in it. This is nothing new, you know, AJ. This has kind of been the recipe for success for Minnesota for a couple of years now. Is hang on. Some matches we've seen it over the last few years. They hang on and somehow pull out a win or a draw. And this was one of those. And you know, I don't think there's anything but good feelings going around training this week for Minnesota.
And I mean, this matchup historically has been written anything but even in terms of the finals. After this, it's still three wins for each with now one draw. That was the first draw between both Columbus and Minnesota dating back to October 28th, 2018, when they first took on each other. It was a Crew 3-2 win. the following season, Minnesota with a 1-0. And since they've only been splitting wins back and forth, essentially meeting in the 13-goal frenzy Leagues Cup final stage last year on August 4th with a 7-6 victory for the Loons. The first draw against Columbus Crew in that matchup's history. Does that tell a story that they've been competing and so competitive with such a good team like Columbus here for to start the season with a lot of uncertainty around the coaching, around the injuries and whatnot, they're able to maybe salvage is not the correct word here, but I'll use it for the lack of a better term, salvage a point against a top club in Columbus?
Yeah, when you score an extra time, you're salvaging a win. I like that term's very fitting for what happened on Saturday. Early in the season, there's always a few teams that are expected to do poorly and they do well. Their teams are expected to do well and do poorly. We don't know who those teams are, but a lot of the so-called experts anticipate Minnesota really struggling this season. And really the only reason why was the fact that, one, legitimately they didn't make the playoffs last year, but two, the optics of, okay, we removed our head coach. We named an interim head coach. He left in the off season, rather than stick around and be the interim head coach. We named our MNUFC 2 coach, Cameron Knowles, as interim head coach. The optics of that were, it's a mess, you know? And so people right away said, oh yeah, they're not going to bounce back from a non-playoff year. And on the other side of it, Columbus coming off the cup, not many changes. They were expected just to pick up and right where they left off. So that's what made that salvaging the tie so great. So I think that because of what Cameron Knowles has done and having really almost every key player back, that this team is going to bounce back nicely. And I think by midseason, a lot of people will be saying, didn't expect Minnesota to be where they are. That's all that, guys like Reynoso and Lode and Longwane have to get healthy and stay healthy. Whether that's physically or mentally, some of those guys, I'm not sure which the problem is. Both,
yeah.
So, I think they're right where they need to be. And if you can compete with the best in the league, you may not get the win, but you pull out a draw once in a while, like they did on Saturday, that'll earn you a lot of respect around the league.
Well, after the draw, they sit fifth in the Western Conference. They're actually deadlocked on points, still one of four remaining unbeaten teams in the West. Just on goal differential, they do sit fifth. They will travel now the following week to number 12 in the East, Orlando. Orlando, a very good season last year, finished second in the East, so not any schlub here in the early part of the season. Nothing to kind of bat an eye out there, but they will travel down there. It's a 6:30 p.m. kickoff this coming Saturday. You can listen to that coverage getting underway here at 6 p.m. on 1500 ESPN. Jonathan and Dan on the call. We'll see if Jonathan joins you. You might have a fill-in by that time, but let's preview that here really quick. Maybe not too much of a preview, but Orlando, it only gets tougher for the Loons. They head into a very, very strong stretch here, and we know how good Orlando can be. They're going to want to maybe make good their slower start to the season these first few weeks, and they're going to say, you know what, this Loons team, maybe these first 2 weeks have been a fluke for them. We're going to show everybody what a real Minnesota team should be looking like. What needs to be Minnesota's mindset and maybe game plan heading down to Orlando?
Well, without knowing who's going to be in the lineup at this point, is Reynoso back? Is Rob, think about how different this team looks up front if you have Reynoso and Lode, or Reynoso and Longwane, or Lode and Longwane up front. They're a much better, much higher skilled team. And as far as Orlando goes, I haven't watched any of their matches yet. So I don't know what they're going to bring. They may be a team that isn't as good as they were last year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But without seeing them But I do know this, that if Minnesota goes down to Orlando and the defense continues to play with as good a form as they have through the first two, they're going to have a chance to get points. They're going to have a chance to get a result just because of the fact that I think this defensive group and this young, you know, goaltender Minnesota has in Dane St. Clair is going to keep them in it. So if I knew, that the front three were going to be Pukki, Reynoso, and Lode, or Pukki, Lode, and Longwane, I'd feel pretty confident. We're pretty sure Timu will be up front on top, but there's a big difference between who's behind him, whether that's Clark and Songbin Jeong, or it's Reynoso or Longwane. So hard to say, but I think that they've got a really good chance to go down there and get some kind of points out of Orlando.
And Orlando is coming off of a 5-0 loss to Lionel Messi's Inter Miami. So they're going to be looking to right the ship for sure after that kind of spanking this past probably weekend.
Not the best time to get them after getting smacked around by Interstate. They're probably a little angry. So that could make it tougher.
Yeah, absolutely. While we kind of mentioned that, let's take a look around the league. And there's really only one game that I specifically circled and want to talk about with you here. And that was the match that was originally supposed to kick off at 1 p.m. alongside of the Loons this past weekend, but actually got delayed because of weather. It was Real Salt Lake hosting LAFC in Real Salt Lake there. It was weather initially, and looking back on the kind of game highlights and game film for this one, it looked like a normal day, green pitch, sunny skies. And then by about the 25th, 30th minute, all of a sudden it's the winter that a lot of Minnesotans usually expect, just pouring white there, a lot of snow. And, it leads to a 3-0 Real Salt Lake win, where they actually went down a man, due to double yellow cards, to Oyeda. So they actually finished the game with 10 men, but they still prevail over an always tough LAFC 3-0.
Yeah, I just saw some of the highlights like you did, and at first I didn't understand why they had delayed it. And they probably, when you look at the way that ended, they shouldn't have delayed it. They should have gotten it in earlier.
Yeah.
Here's what I was left with that one is, look at both those teams. Okay, how much do you take out of that? How much do you take out of that? Is Real Salt Lake better? Is LAFC down? And that's what's interesting about MLS early season matchups. We might look at that 2 months from now and LAFC is way up here in the table,
yeah,
and Bell's down there. I don't know, but it does make you think, what if LA is down this year? We know they've lost some key pieces in the offseason. Is that enough for them to struggle this year? I don't know. We're going to find out sooner than later when we play them. So it would be kind of refreshing, just like when the Galaxy had that tough season last year. Kind of nice to see both LA teams down in the lower half of the table, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know we're both hockey guys in a sense, where it's kind of like the outdoor sloppy pond hockey games, where it's like the skilled players usually don't thrive as good of there because it's just street ball,
right,
at that point. And
right,
when you've got shin high snow, I don't know how much you can expect World Cup winner Hugo Lloris to do in goal. So
yeah, the bad pitch conditions, whether it be mud or snow or whatever, kind of is a neutralizer, and it does make it hard to really tell who's doing what. But it's entertaining for the fans. They bring out the orange ball and everybody has a good time.
I know Jonathan would be loving that orange ball.
Big fan of the orange ball.
He is. All right. Well, that wraps up look across the league. Dan, let's get into the predictor. Do you want to explain that to the listeners?
Yeah, we picked three upcoming matches, including the next match for Minnesota United. We pick a winner, we pick a score or a draw. If you get the correct guess as to the winner or a draw, you get a point. If you get the score exactly correct, you get an extra bonus point on top of it.
Which almost never happens. We're not going to do a accountability session, though. Because good, frankly, without Jonathan here, that makes me do a little extra work. I will leave that to him next week.
He does the math. Yeah, we'll leave that to him.
St. Cloud State grad here, so I'm not too great at math. I'll let you go first here. I'll put a stipulation that we both start with the Minnesota Orlando match, though. How about?
Okay. All right. I've gone back and forth on this a couple of times, and again, it's because of who's playing. I don't know who's playing.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take the optimistic route that they get a little bit of offense back. I'm gonna go Minnesota 2, Orlando 0.
Ooh. All right. Because of the uncertainty, I wanted to see kind of where you were going with this one before I made my selection. I think we're both kind of in the same boat. I do think maybe they get a little stronger in numbers up front and just throughout the rest of the roster here. Probably Robin Lugg comes back. Who knows about Reynoso? I'm also going to predict a Minnesota win, but I'm going to go 2-1. Minnesota 2, Orlando 1.
2-1. That's the most common score in Major League Soccer. So
there we
it's
go.
A good pick. Good pick.
We'll go snake here. So okay. I will, I'll keep the next pick here, and I'm going to go pick on a team that I think is pretty abysmal. Jonathan alluded to this last week, and if you want to watch them get routed, I think this weekend, it's one of the free Apple TV matchups. So feel free to tune into Charlotte beating Toronto FC by a score of 4-1.
Ooh, 4-1. Wow. All right. I'm going to go with what I feel really good about is Columbus going back home, I believe, and taking on Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think Columbus win. I'm going to go a pretty big number. I'm going to go 3-0 Columbus.
Ooh, okay. This next one, I don't know if I feel good about it, but I want to be bold here to start the year. All right, Montreal. Through for the first 2 weeks, they're 1-0-1, and they're going to be catching an Inter Miami team that is only a few days off of a CONCACAF Champions League game or Champions Cup rather game, excuse me, where they're going to be taking on a tough Nashville team on the 7th. They have to rebound 3 days later at 4 p.m. Against Montreal at Chase Stadium. I think Montreal hands Inter Miami a loss, and I'm going to say it's 2-1. As Jonathan said, they got a lot of old guys down there in Miami, you know, retirement home, but boy, are they still skilled. I think that tough turnaround might hit them though. So 2-1 Montreal over Miami.
All right. I'm going to stay with my last pick will be a 2-1 pick as well.
Okay.
Philadelphia 2, Seattle 1. I think that's going to be a really good matchup. But I think Philadelphia knocks off Seattle 2-1.
All right, there we go. So that was the predictor. That was the predictor. Absolutely.
It was.
I got my names mixed up because I don't, I'll have to get used to hosting maybe a little bit more this year. We'll switch over now to write that down. Each of us gives 3 soccer related predictions, not necessarily score related, just kind of either stat or in the future, trying to look into our crystal ball, so to speak. One of them does need to be Minnesota United related. Dan, I'll let you kick things off here.
All right. Well, the reason why I picked a 2-0 score for Minnesota over Orlando is my first write that down is Dane St. Clair will get his first clean sheet of the season. Write that down.
Okay. Well, I also had something along those lines, but now I feel like I have to one up you a little bit. So how about
he can't give up less than 0. So
that's true. I'll say that Dane St. Clair records his first clean sheet of the year, but also records more than 6 saves.
Ooh, that's a pretty big number.
How about this? 6 or more saves.
6 or more, okay.
6 or more. Because I feel like 7's pushing it.
I got to think, if he makes 6 saves, we are going to win. So
yeah, you'd have to think so. I think he's going to be a little busier here. They're going to have to rebound big time, Orlando.
Probably.
You want to go next, or you want me to take it?
Go ahead.
All right, my next one here is going to I mentioned in the recap of this past week's game, Yosef Rosales. I think he's been pretty solid for the Loons so far this year, exceeding expectations. And I think that after this week, based on his performance, he's going to be named to the MLS All Star or MLS Team of the Week. MLS Ooh. Team of the Week. Yosef Rosales will be a Team of the Week member. Write that down.
I like it. He's almost got to score a goal to get that because, you know, which is really unfortunate. Defenders usually make that team of the match day, team of the week for scoring, which isn't why they're on the field.
No.
You know?
Yeah, they just kind of accident themselves into it.
If four defenders, you know, score goals, those four are going to be on the week. So, which doesn't actually make sense, really. But anyway, I like that. Okay. My second one is also Minnesota related. Robin Lud will score in his first game back with Minnesota. I don't know if that'll be this week or the next week, but when he returns, he will score again. Mark, write that down.
I am going to make my last one a Finnish connection here. Whenever Robin Lud returns, he's going to assist on a goal to Teemu Pukki.
Okay.
In his first match back, Robin Lud will assist on a goal to Teemu Pukki. And I will say it's the direct assist. I know MLS does the hockey assist where it's the secondary. I'm going to say he is the primary assist getter on the goal by Teemu Pukki. Write that down.
Okay. Like it. I would have let you take just a regular, any kind of assist. As a hockey guy, I have no problem with the MLS assists.
Well, then I'll tell you what, if you're going to give it to me, then I'm going to revise.
Oh yeah.
There we go. Jonathan's not here to lock things down.
Jonathan's hung up on that. By the way, it's on the stat sheet for the MLS standings. So if you're counting any kind of stats, it's there. So you might as well he needs just to give in. He needs to let it go. It's a losing battle. It's a losing battle. The MLS has ignored all his emails and his phone calls complaining. He needs to let it go. So, okay, I got one left here. Yeah. I'm going to say, I believe there's four teams in the West without a loss. After we're going into week four, technically.
Yes, that is correct. It's Portland, LA Galaxy, Minnesota, and St. Louis City.
I'm going to predict that the LA Galaxy will be the last team to get a loss in the West.
Excuse me. I have to correct myself because some teams have, technically Kansas, Sporting KC and Vancouver also have not lost.
They have not.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's more. Yeah, I'm going to say that LA Galaxy will be the at some point will be the last team to get a loss in the West.
That's
write that down.
That would be one heck of a turnaround for that Galaxy club, especially after last year where they were like almost fighting fans.
Right, it would be, but it's not that I think they're going to be great this year. I just know that with our schedule coming up, and I kind of looked at some of the other team schedules, they've got a shot at doing it, and I don't think it's going to take long. I think that, you know, within a couple of weeks, everybody will have a loss, except maybe the Galaxy. So we'll see how it pans out.
All right. Well, that wraps up this week's editions of The Predictor. And write that down. Once again, a quick reminder that this coming Saturday, it'll be Minnesota traveling down to Orlando, take on Orlando City, kickoff at 6:30. Pre-match set to get underway at 6 o'clock on the airwaves of 1500 ESPN. You can also listen on the Score North mobile app, which is free to download on your mobile device. Dan Terhar on the call alongside Jonathan Harrison. Once again, kicking off pregame show at 6 o'clock. Dan, any final words for the Loon Talk listeners here this afternoon?
No, it was great to see a sellout crowd, standing room sellout at Allianz Field. On an amazing day. So hopefully for the fans, the team not only gets great weather here, but they get some wins at home. And they played, you know, very good soccer on the road last year. But, man, it would be so big this year if they could be dominant at home and have a strong home-winning record. Make a big difference in the season. So, yeah, good job, fans. And let's hope that they can continue to have results at home. And hopefully, go three matches in without a loss Saturday. Looking forward to Saturday, AJ.
Absolutely. And if you're listening, make sure to leave a like, follow the podcast, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to, and leave a rating and review. Whatever you do definitely helps get the word out. You've been listening to Loon Talk for Dan Terhar. I'm AJ Fredrickson. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.